The poet Juan Felipe Herrera grew up in California in the 1950s, working alongside his Mexican farmworker parents. And ethnic identity and injustices faced by minorities are some of the themes in his writing, poems that led him to being named U.S. Poet Laureate last year, the first Mexican-American to achieve that honor. His themes are also why he's been invited to deliver the keynote speech at today's Martin Luther King Day celebration at Boston University. It's appropriate that a poet is helping to mark the day. MLK embraced the poetry of Langston Hughes. Scholars have long made the link between the Hughes poem Dream, Dream Deferred, a poem about hopes dashed, and King's use of dreams as a positive image in speeches and sermons, culminating in his I Have a Dream speech in 1963. So what influence did MLK have on poet Juan Herrera? We're fortunate to have him in the studio with us before his BU event to ask him. Juan Felipe Herrera, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a beautiful, beautiful honor to be here.
Well,
thank you.
Honor's ours. And on this day in particular, what did Martin Luther King mean to you?
Well, you know, he meant everything. You know, freedom is what it's all about. Peace is what it's all about. And his great example and the example of the African-American peoples and communities in the United States, especially during the 50s and 60s when I was growing up as a child and as a little kid bopping around and looking at the magazines and looking at the images, they struck me very hard through those two decades, the 50s and the 60s.
Well, and you say African-American. You are Mexican-American. And I'm thinking of your poem about being half-Mexican.
That's right. You know, half-Mexican for me is just the beast that we have to deal with, you know, being separated with a hyphen. And, of course, that hyphen is not just ink on paper. It is the ongoing realities in institutions, politics, policies, laws, that we have to deal with, so we get separated from ourselves.
Well, if half is Mexican, then like, what's the other half? It's sort of it's sort of half of you turning on the other half of you.
That's right. You know, that's the question. You know, well, we used to talk about Mexican American. Of course, that's still an issue about being not really accepted in the United States because we were Mexicanos, Mexicanas, Latinos, Latinas, and not really accepted in some interesting ways in Latin America because we're no longer living there and growing up there. We've come to the United States. So that used to be the early struggle. The struggle now is that we are Latinas and Latinos and Mexicanos, Mexicanas, human beings, and yet there are many walls going up.
Yeah, the first couple lines. Odd to be a half Mexican. Let me put it this way. I am Mexican plus Mexican. Then there's the question of the half. To say Mexican without the half, well, it means another thing. Yeah. It's math. It's like you're a math riddle.
I had to get into math, you know. I had to get into Einstein and Kant and the people that dealt with time and light, you know. It's about being a whole human being. That's what I'm going after. It's about being a whole human being. And there's so many things going on that keep us, cut us off from our completion as human beings.
Yeah.
And that is unity and freedom.
Yeah. We'll post it at herenow.org so people can take a look themselves. Kant does make an appearance in the poem. You wrote also about the riots in Los Angeles after the Rodney King verdict in 1992. This was the man, of course, who was caught on video being assaulted by police. He's the one who said, "Why can't we all get along?" Talk about your poem, Rodney King, The Black Christ of Los Angeles and All Our White Sins.
Well, you know, he was brutally beat. Point number one and the most important point. He was just brutally brutalized and violated as a human being, as an African-American. And I wanted to respond to that and how the community responded to that, you know, by demonstrating and by coming out in the open and by engaging in, a lot of response to the police in various forms. And in a sense, I saw Rodney King as the sacrificial lamb, if you can put it that way. Mm-hmm. That he had to, we had to, in a sense, see all this and experience his life in this manner for us to become awake again to the realities that we face every day in the streets.
And it's history to some people, so we should remind them. The police were cleared after the verdict. There were the riots in Los Angeles. Can I read a couple lines from your poem? Because it's always probably wrong to ask a poet what he meant by his poetry, but I'm going to.
Okay.
I can see everything. San Francisco. Well, actually, why don't you read it? I've got you sitting here. Would you read me those lines? I'd like to know what you meant.
I can see everything. San Francisco, Guadalajara, and the city which was once an empire, once upon a time. I used to go there as a kid and look at my hands to make sure I was there, to remember myself there by the shape of my hands. This is the way of the God in the streets. This is the gospel of Rodney King, the black and brown wand of inspiration.
What do you mean by looking at your hands?
When I was a kid, we used to travel through L.A. from San Diego, where I was living at the time, and to San Francisco to visit my family, my aunts and uncles, Quintanas in Mission District. And I remember being in Los Angeles, and I would stand there on the corner, and I would literally put my hand up and look at my hand and feel the fact that I was existing, to realize that.
Well, how old are you? How old were you when you did this?
I was around 10.
Really?
10 years old. And it was just something that came up, and I kind of stopped the motion of everyday reality in a way, you know, going places, thinking of things, getting busy. And I just stopped that, and I just picked up my hand, and I looked at it, and I go, this is my hand. I am here.
I exist.
I exist.
As a brown child, did you fear you didn't exist?
I probably did. In the first grade, I didn't even know what a school was, and my father just pointed me toward this gray building, and I walked up to it. I opened the first door that I found, and I stepped in. School had started, and then I was slapped, and I was spanked. That's what I was spanked on the teacher's knee and for being late and for speaking in Spanish. So I had that already going, and perhaps that's part of it.
Well, so I can only imagine for a brown child to have that feeling that maybe I don't even exist. To have Martin Luther King come along in the 60s must have been, you just made it look like, yes. What do you want to say today when you speak to Boston University students?
Well, what I want to say is that we must continue that effort. It's one thing to celebrate and to remember, and it's very important to celebrate Martin Luther King, and yet we must make an extra effort now. A new effort. We're not in that same world anymore. Every day there are new assaults, and there are horrific assaults. They're beyond the scale that they have been in the past.
Well, when you say assaults, we should say after you were named California's Poet Laureate in 2012, you started a project, a poetry project about bullying.
That was a project that kind of came from the death of a young 11-year-old girl called Joanna Ramos in Long Beach in an elementary school. I noticed that, and I saw her face on the news, and I said, I have to do something.
So are you talking about bullying because of race and ethnicity?
I'm talking about bullying at all levels, really. And when we live in impoverished communities, we kind of carry a lot of angst. You know, we do, a lot of suffering. Children do, especially these days. I wanted to talk about fighting each other, young children fighting each other, and in this case, dying.
And just briefly, I'm still struck. You know, here we have a poet who came up, you know, on the outskirts of Los Angeles, Mexican-American, didn't think he existed, now poet laureate. What would you want to say about poetry and how it can...
Well,
let you know you exist.
That's true. That's exactly the point. You're right. I think you already said it. Poetry allowed me to notice my existence. Otherwise, I was traveling from one place to the other. Otherwise, I couldn't really collect my thoughts. I was alone. I was in solitude. Solitude is good, but that kind of solitude is kind of an alienation. I was outside of everything. We were outside of everything. Even though we told stories and loved each other, my small family, we were always floating around the center of society. And poetry kind of was a way for me to find peace and find myself and to find solace.
Well, you know, with that in mind, I'd love it if you could just read the first four lines of your poem about poetry. We'll post the rest at herenow.org, but would you mind just the first four? Let me tell you what a poem brings.
Oh, let me tell you what a poem brings. The first four lines?
Yeah.
Before you go further, let me tell you what a poem brings. First, you must know the secret. There is no poem to speak of. It is a way to attain a life without boundaries.
Yeah. Again, Juan Felipe Herrera, U.S. Poet Laureate. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks.